welcome to another episode of the Stellar Sound Podcast, the only podcast relatively unknown to Earthlings, but rocking in all the interdimensional space traveling radars to empower creative musicians everywhere. I'm your host, Leandre Paulson, and today I'm excited to be joined by Matt Makowski. But first, to become part of our interstellar presence, find us at stellarsoundpodcast.com, on all social platforms at Stellar Sound Podcast, or join our astronauts in the Stellar Sound Discord community. Links are in the description. Matt is a Michigan-raised metal vocalist currently residing in South Korea. From sound editing to fronting the deathcore band Get to the Point, Matt has tiptoed the line between performer and behind-the-scenes specialist. As a true form of a modern artist, you can also find Matt behind the lens with his stoic photography on all his socials, or even by finding one of his short films online. Matt, welcome to the Stellosphere, and how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. It's morning for me. I'm just still waking up. I'm doing good.
You like getting your morning coffee? You're almost awake. By the end of this podcast, you're going to be ready to just start your day. It's going to be like that morning exercise routine. You're going to have breakfast, podcast for breakfast, as they would say.
Podcast for breakfast.
I mean, champions, breakfast of champions, right? What? It's pretty earlier at my side too. I think by the time that we're done, I'm going to have a hearty breakfast, if you will, just to get the day. This is going to be a very early day, but I mean, we're here, we're ready, we're going to enjoy this. And I want to just jump right into your existence as a Michiganite. So Michigan is your home state, like I mentioned. And from my very limited knowledge, it's a very diverse place to grow up. I think I read somewhere that you guys have an island. I'm going to really like brutally murder this name, but Mackinac Island, which was voted like one of the friendliest places in the world. But then you guys also have like Detroit, which is like the most dangerous places in the world. And like, it's such a weird spectrum to be on. Like, there's no gray area. It's either black or white when it comes to Michigan. And I think it's very similar when you think about the music, because you have that strong Motown presence, but you also have a proto-punk presence, which is completely different. So I want to know, in all this diversity, this real hot pot of everything, what drew you to metal and specifically to deathcore?
Yeah, it's really funny. I was talking about this last night with somebody who grew up with the music in both the States and Korea, because he's an adoptee.
Yeah.
And I've never been to Mackinac Island, actually. I've been close. I've never been there. It's I've heard like there's a lot of like incest and stuff going on up there. Like there's some cults, you know. Like they're also very friendly.
Yeah, that's
a very specific location for that.
That might be why.
Also, they banned cars.
Yeah.
Might be why. Hey, this is my. They banned cars too, so you're like forced to, you know, find other modes of transportation. It's part of their, I guess, habitat and culture to protect the environment. And as far as metal is concerned, I grew up into that scene. Very young age in Michigan, and the music scene there is also very diverse, and I'm still learning, as I was telling this guy yesterday, about bands that were from my hometown. Like, oh, they're from my hometown. What? And I always had to pretend like I knew that, otherwise I sound like I'm just like, yeah, I knew they're from there.
Totally.
Most recently, I think a big piece of news, I feel horrible not remembering his name. I've got like morning brain right now. Oh, I feel bad. He recently passed away from, oh my gosh, Black Label Society. The guitarist. Yeah, he was from a nearby neighborhood.
Mm.
So I, you know, he was a big, big contributor to exposing the neighborhoods and metal music. One of my good friends from high school and middle school was really big into music, and he picked up guitar early. He's kind of a prodigy at the time. He's still doing music. He's got the world's longest tongue. He's pretty cool. And I still keep in touch with a lot of these guys, and seeing them spread out and do their own thing has been really inspiring also. But I tend to move a lot and experience different diverse scenes of music. I've always just been really drawn to metal, so it's really hard to say when or why, but I think my first album that drew me in was Deftones. I wouldn't, it's like more alternative rock, but I was like, ooh, I like these riffs, I like the punching, I like the angst. And my aunt bought it for me, Adrenaline, that album for my birthday, like when I just went into middle school, and just kept going that route. Try a little bit of rap and hip hop, but I just kept going back to more heavy stuff. I think Slipknot eventually, I got into them.
It found its way into the playlist as well. That's very interesting.
Definitely.
I don't think we realize it as musicians, or no, I don't even say musicians, but people in general, like, we didn't realize that we being formed, or our likes, or our interests are being formed. It's just someday you're in it and you can't pinpoint the exact point. But it's interesting that your aunt bought it, bought your first, let's say, favorite album. Because let's, like, I mean, I shouldn't speak for all cultures, but from the culture that I come from, that your aunt won't buy you a metal album. It doesn't matter how cool your aunt, cool aunt is. It won't happen. So, did she know what she was doing, or was it just
Nope.
on accident? She's like, this
Total
sounds
accident.
fun.
Yep. She's like, the album cover looked cool. And she thought it was a cool seashell, but as anyone knows, Deftones' album, it's actually a douche. Yeah,
So,
so I was like, yeah, seashell.
totally. That's totally what it
Cool.
is. Thanks. you are born and raised, and you are learning about your own music scene as well. But what can you tell us about Michigan that only a local will know, basically?
I always get asked that question because a lot of people, when they come to visit the States, it's either New York or California, maybe Las Vegas for the casinos, obviously, and the unspoken debauchery. Michigan sits right on top of Ohio. Ohio is known for a famous theme park. Michigan has their own theme park as well, that Snoopy theme. So we got a Snoopy themed water park.
That is
Yeah, it's pretty
specific.
cool. Yeah. And comes with a really specific name, Michigan Adventure. And if you say Michigan Adventure, people know exactly what you're talking about. It's a day trip with the family, come back sunburned. It's pretty nice. We also have a fudge factory that a lot of people know about, or they make chocolate fudge. You can buy the syrup for your ice cream, or just buy their chocolates if you're going out to meet some as a gift. You could tour their factory, and they're well known. And also, we're known for cars. That's a huge one. Locals obviously know about that. Everyone else might know about that, like in the States for sure. When I say Detroit, people are like, oh,
Just
Chevrolet.
mentioned that
Yeah.
you dabble in so many diversity in your life from moving from point to point.
That's true.
And when I first read about you online, I was interested that you went from Michigan to South Korea, basically, which is very culturally different. And I wonder why I make, of all places in the world, why jump to South Korea from Michigan?
Actually, I went from Michigan, Florida, Tennessee, Missouri. I think there's another one in there. Then back to Michigan. I finished my kind of college route a little late because I spent a lot of my 20s. I don't know if I'm supposed to say my age on here. I spent most of my 20s being kind of neglectful to my education to pursue music seriously. Yeah, Mom, I'm gonna make it this year, I promise.
We've all been
And
there,
devoted a lot of my time. Almost every day, I slept on couches, inside storage units, like cars, just trying to make it work. And I finally went back to college for film. As you mentioned earlier, you can see some short films online, so I really enjoy film. And then I went back to Michigan to do a job, to working on a feature. When that finished, working in the music industry is contract based, so I couldn't find another contract right away, and I was already half kind of humoring going to Korea, as it was mentioned to me at a rock climbing gym from a half Korean buddy of mine. He's like, try it. I'm like, I don't know.
Let's go.
What's in Korea? Is it north or south? Which one are we talking?
Oh,
And so
yeah.
I finally they're just like, you're approved. You want to go? And I said, yeah.
And then
So
you
I
rock
just
up in North
went.
Korea.
I just
Surprise!
rock up. Am I in the right one? Why are you arresting me? Get your hands off me.
Exactly. I mean, that's a that sounds like a smuggling industry waiting to happen. Hey, come to Korea. It just doesn't tell you which one.
Yeah, figure it out.
So,
Got supplies for either one.
could you
I
imagine
found.
the IMDb? IMDb page. I cannot say that five times faster. And then I was surprised to see how much behind the scenes work you have done. Like sound technician, sound mixing, editing work. And usually musicians do dabble in a lot of sound tech work, but you have dabbled a lot. And you're the front man for Get to the Point. So I want to know, how did you start in the industry, and how did sound technicianing and editing work transition into fronting a band?
Well, I must first by disambiguating, there are four Matt Mikowskis on IMDb, so hopefully I sent the right one. There,
I
I
got the
did do
right
sound
one.
work for sure, but that was actually my first job, was doing sound, like a easiest job, honestly, just holding the boom mic for the actors. And they're like, you're good at this. I'm like, yeah, just hold the mic, not
Thanks.
making sounds, just shut up and hold it. And I guess, I'm kind of fit, so like you gotta actually hold the mic for a long time sometimes in different positions. And they liked me, and they're like, yeah, if we ever do any other work. They formulated like a production company, and they hit me up for stuff and then get referred to stuff, and I went to school for it. And then being a musically inclined already, like I was already playing guitar and trying to learn other instruments, I went right back into both, just swung both ways, the door opened just both ways to music and sound, music and sound. I originally went to school ho hoping to go into sound engineering. Big surprise, because I wanted to compose music for film, a film composer. They had a big, the school I just kind of went to was like, yeah, we got that program. It's a pretty good program, but there's a big wait list of 6 months. Good luck. I'm like, aw. So I switched
Damn,
it to
man.
film. Yeah. Not that I didn't want to. I just was like, aw, that's why I came here. Yeah, like you can just
So
walk up to the school door and join sound. I'm like, oh, I don't
Oh shit, no. So, but then you think you, so you, in, I want to say you ended up enrolling in filmmaking or film.
Yes, and obviously they have the sound department, which is closely attached to it. And I still sometimes do that. Not well anymore. I was a newbie, so like, oh, we don't care. Just do this and that. We'll show you. I worked. Worked with some
Hold
good people, but yeah,
the
hold the boom. That's always my first one,
boom.
yeah. But I did like field mixing and post mixing. I'm not good at that, surprisingly. But it's fun. Even like sound design, I enjoy that one. I tried doing a. I'm probably gonna. You said rant. I'm gonna ramble. This. I tried doing when during COVID when we couldn't go filming because you're not allowed to have people of five or more than five or something. I tried to do a radio play, like just audio only. I did a account on a website for sounds and music, and I started downloading sounds that I thought would fit. And I wrote the script, and I recorded everything. Got some actors; they recorded their parts, and it became so it was like a good project. But then they left the country.
Oh, but that's interesting. How you transition. Is there a core memory, for lack of a better word? Is there a memory where you a day in time where you decide, okay, I am gonna fully transition to music full time, even though I didn't the How would you say this is? You wanted to go do the film composition, but then you ended up doing film, and then somehow you got back into the music. Is there a point in time where you can remember that you decide, okay, I'm gonna give the music thing a second try?
I gave music more than two. I gave it like 20 tries. It's a diehard. It does not die. Like I got like a tattoo of like the music symbol, like the clef in the row, saying my passion for music will never die. I can't turn my arm that way. But I went to school and I took an elective class for music theory just to keep my brain. Even though I was there for film, I still was taking music theory. Just I couldn't get away from it. I took singing lessons. I wanted to just keep. I just really liked it. I did musical theater was my minor, so I had to go up there singing Chicago and things from plays I didn't know existed, like The Addams Family. I didn't know that was a musical. They got musicals for everything now. Yeah.
Like but really everything.
Really. And a lot of my friends were musicians. Like they had jam rooms in their houses for during college. And then I joined a band while I was in college and they're like, can you still study and do music? I'm like, yeah, I think so.
Totally.
And I was in this band in Tennessee. That's when I moved from Michigan to Tennessee to do college. And even before I went to that specific university, I was in a band. So I kept joining bands. I just kept joining bands. And I always thought this is the one that I'm going to love it. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to put money into the advertisements and t-shirts, merchandise and recording. And yeah, but the one in university, that one in particular was, we got a little taste where this guy, we had a dinner or lunch with him, and he's like, I work for Sony. I can get you guys a signed label. We're like, oh, we get signed with Sony. Okay. Sony Entertainment. That's label. Like, pretty big deal. And
there's a big player right there. Yeah.
Suddenly our bassist got cold feet. Was it the bassist? Doesn't matter. One of the guys got cold feet. The drummer had a baby. Good for him, but he kind of settled him out of the band. He's like, I can't tour. I'm not going to be able to do that. And a lot of us were like, oh, no. We got to find replacements so we can fulfill our dream of being signed to a label. This is it. This is it. And then it just didn't happen. And that's probably my biggest setback of disappointment. Great. And then again, I was just like, I'm back in the band, another band. But when I came to Korea, that's, I think, when I decided, like, I'm going to spend a year in another country and just try to be not American. I'm going to try to. It was really hard to do. It was harder than I thought it'd be. And I went here and I was like, you know, first thing I did was make a short film. Why? Because that was what I went to school for. I just got done doing a whole feature movie and I did a short film. And I met people that way first. And then a month later, I was like, I'm going to start a band. I don't know why I thought it was a good idea, but it was exciting. I was a new place. And all I did was roam around the streets of Hongdae, which is a very music-heavy area. And if I saw a person carrying a guitar, which could very well be a busker, so I had to kind of gauge if they're wearing a shirt or they have piercings. It's a busker. They're wearing makeup and like a dazzling shirt. Or this guy is the Mohawk and he's got like chains on his pants. This guy's going to a show to have fun, not just play in the street. And that's what I did. I talked to people like, hey, you in a band? What do you play? Let's do something.
Visually vetted them.
Yeah. And once it came together, I was like, this is it. I'm in a band. And the whole reason I stayed here as long as I have is for music.
For the band.
For the band.
That's amazing. And then you still, as you said, you're still side hustling the photography and filmmaking. It's quite the Renaissance man, if you will. But okay, Mac, it is time for the really creepy section of this podcast.
Oh.
Where I go through people's socials.
Creepy.
It's just like internet stalking. It's completely safe. Harmless.
Everyone does it.
Yeah. Like I say, I keep saying I might get arrested one day, but today shall not be that day. I went through your socials and then I stole a few pictures. I just want some background knowledge on these. But the best part is, I always struggle sharing this damn screen. So you just got to give me a second and then I shall share my screen with you. Nope, that's not it. This is the bit. Like, I'm so good at computers and then I can't share my screen. There we go. I got it. Nailed it. Okay. Zoom in on that one.
This came up in my memories 2 days ago, actually.
Really? Nailed it.
Or maybe it was yesterday. Yeah, that's funny.
Like, what do you, this seems like a very throwback picture before you even
Super
said it was me.
throwback.
Like, but what, where are you in this picture? I assume, like,
Take a guess.
I'm assuming that's you. I don't know. I can't even tell. There's such a old photo. But what's happening? What is this? What band is this? Just tell me everything.
This is my first progressive, I don't want to say progressive, metal band in Florida. So when I moved there, this is one of the bands I joined called Friends Meet the Massacre.
Oh
I
wow,
love the
that is a
name at the time.
name.
Still love the name. Yeah. That was our only performance. We built the stage by hand. I remember smashing my finger between some wood and a nail. Like, not a big injury or anything, but just like, I remember when I see the stage, I go, ow. And the guy on the left, all the way to the left of the picture with the long hair and guitar, that's me in the baggy pants. I was very
No way.
skinny. Yeah, I was a good looker too. I was a ladies' man. The guy
Look
next to
at
me, he
you.
was a vocalist. I met him at a job called Wanadu City, now closed. There's some similar places like Xanadu or whatever, where they have little job stations for kids and they earn fake money to buy stuff. So I met a lot of people from there actually, like all over the world. Hence my reason to going to Thailand recently. Anyway, the guy on the drums, Jorge, he was an amazing drummer. He watched a lot of Mike Portnoy, whom I got to talk on the phone with. The guy all the
Oh.
way on the right is Mike, and I think the reason the memory came up was because his birthday was like a month ago, and then the guy on the left, his birthday was 2 days ago, and it was like, do you want to share a photo? I'm
And
like,
that was
nine, this is
that.
9 years ago. 9 years ago. Yeah,
Whoa.
we did one show. I think we bought two kegs. We put all our money in, some of us had more than others, but we put money into the show. It was really fun. We only had like 7 or 8 songs, which is pretty good for being in a band for just a few months. And
I mean, that's amazing for a starter band. 7 songs, come on.
yeah,
That's
it's
like
very
a
Lamb of God-ish, like very, very
ah.
Lamb of God metalcore with some math metal influences.
I love the photo because you can just pinpoint it in time just by how it
Yeah.
looks, the setup and everything. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I really like this photo. This one really stood out to me. This was both on your. It was shared across your socials from the photography website to Facebook, Instagram. What? Why are you on a random dump pile, it seems? It's very aesthetic, a very aesthetic dump
Yeah.
pile, just so you know, but why are we there?
Basically, I was filming a movie in
Ah.
Detroit. And of course, Detroit is known for having some abandoned buildings. Michael Bay blew up a lot of buildings for Transformers. And I happened to go into one of those old buildings that he didn't blow up, but had some debris from the movie. And I just thought it was a really cool look when the light was coming through this
Oh
tiny little
yeah.
window on the wall there. And I was like, with my one of my good friends, I was like, hey, take a photo of me up here. And he's like, why? This is ugly. I was like, just do it. I want it. That's
Oh
all. I
no.
really enjoy it. I really like the photo. I
Yeah,
don't
I'm
think
gonna
anyone
fight
else
your
cared
friend.
about
I will fight your
it.
friend. It looks like a trash heap, honestly, but it's like a really good looking trash heap. If you could call it that. No, it's very visual. I was like, this can't be in Korea. So I was wondering if it's in America somewhere, but it nailed it, nailed the composition. This is one of your more recent posts. Let me just zoom in a little bit. And, one of your more recent posts. I'm assuming this is Get to the Point in live and in action.
Yes, that is correct. Live and in action. Not much to really say. I think it might be our first show at that club.
Oh, which club is
And
this?
because I'm wearing a sweater, so I'm guessing that was like one of our first shows in the winter. And my hair's dastardly long for, it's a fresh cut right now in comparison.
Smooth.
And that character on the left, Billy, he joined our band like a very typical Korean student, and then like over a period of a month, he went through 300 or 400 different musical identities. Yeah, it's definitely an old photo. That show's FF Club FF is in Hongdae. It's one of those shows that or venues that pay a little bit. You get bottle service for playing there, so we enjoy it as a band. Good, we get treated well. But the audience is usually hit or miss. You get the random drunkards from the street that are just partying late, or you might get full-on Koreans that are like, "Oh, I've never heard this music before," and get interested. It's usually a good mix. But we always play last or late, and there's like a happy hour, so we get drunk people for sure. It gets rowdy in there. Yeah, it's kind of divey.
Usually, I'm gonna say if it's a good drunk, then the drunk crowd could be
It
epic. But then
gets.
it needs to be a good drunk crowd, right?
Oh my God.
Baby got back.
Baby got back.
Like
Yeah.
what?
Yeah. So in
What?
Florida, they called me Shakira.
Have
just,
no
I hope you don't
idea
lie.
why.
Yeah, they're like, I can see which part of Detroit you're from or how you're from Detroit. They said I got some black in my booty. Or I'm just like, yeah, I do have a genetically nice butt. Not gonna lie. But this photo is from a comedy show promo that I do stand-up comedy as well. So as I've mentioned, I dabble in a lot. I jump around. I actually just did an open mic the other day. I went to a show last night, didn't perform, just watched. So this was more of a promo shot. I'm just trying to be goofy and fun. It was a professional studio, and I saved this one, I think, because obviously I got some curve in there. You can put that
Love it.
Fibonacci circle right over there. It'll go right on.
It would. It's right there. There you go. I'm gonna just.
Yeah,
I'll ask an editor to just put that over there just for reference or something. I laughed so hard when I saw this picture. I was like, oh, everything is really aesthetic, or it's music related, or something like that. And then it's this random photo, and I'm like, I have so many questions. This one is also fairly recent, I think, if I remember correctly. After a show.
after a show, it was one of those, hey, get on the stage, let's get a group photo. Some of us are opposed to group photo. I don't know why. It's silly sometimes. In Korea, they always get a group photo after a show, and it is kind of not what we do in America or anywhere I've seen. It's like, it's kind of silly. It's not a novelty. It's a performance. It's kind of a job. You're happy to be done. We want to interact with the audience, not ourselves. It seems kind of narcissistic, but I'm glad we took it because this is one of the few photos we took of ourselves where we're all happy and together. And it's a good
Like,
show. It packs a lot of memories in the one little photo just for being a show. Even though all shows kind of seem the same, they all have their own kind of niche about that night. And this one we
and
had to
this
travel
what
for. We traveled a little bit for the show.
I was gonna ask, is it the same club as before, the FF Club? But I see there's a different logo in the background. It's a
Yeah, it's
really cool
Alleyway.
photo. Alleyway, is that what it says in the
Alleyway,
background?
yeah.
I was trying to like figure out what it says. I could not do it. This one is also a favorite. I was like, he's American. There we go.
Definitely.
So you met Donald Trump, the real Donald Trump.
That's actually Donald Trump. Yeah, met him. That's a Halloween photo. I hope that's obvious. But that's
Full
during,
disclaimer.
yeah, also during COVID. Disclaimer, mask is on, his is not. I don't know why. Oh, he was on that costume all week. He loved it so much. He did that all week. So I kept seeing him. Everyone's got photos with
No.
him. Yeah, he's just like he's a local dude. Everyone knows him at the bars because he lives in the foreigner area, I think, because he's in the military. And he's a little higher rank, so he never got kicked off base. He's been here a while. And I see him around a lot, so I was like, I gotta get a photo with you, obviously. This is pretty funny.
Like you just did that for a full week. That's amazing.
Yeah, a whole week he did that. I don't even think he was
That's
sober.
I was like, either that's like real commitment to the craft, to the fake persona, or that some substance abuse might be in play there for sure. Because I mean,
Yeah.
that's a lot of orange face paint to wear for a
That's a
week,
lot of why I'm
though.
surprised the Oompa Loompas haven't canceled them yet.
Well, I mean, it's pretty close, right?
It's pretty close.
You are gonna educate me today a bit on deathcore, because the
All
stuff
right.
I know, I wouldn't call myself the biggest metal know-all enthusiast, although I do enjoy it quite often. But when it comes to deathcore, I know nothing. Absolutely nothing. I know the genre, I've heard some of its music, but I've never actually gone into it. So whatever you say today is gospel, and I will believe everything, all the lies or non-lies that you tell me. But the thing that I know about deathcore, and this is, and I'm gonna
Yes.
just, a lot of people are gonna hate me for this, but this is the stereotype of the genre. Let's just say metal and primarily deathcore in general, is that it's associated with everything that's bad in the world. Most metal artists or the music itself is connotated with like Satanism and death, and you're all linked to the Illuminati. And if there is a serial killer, he or she was brought up in their childhood with metal or deathcore or something alike. And if you're not Satan itself, then you're probably the reason why there are such mass shootings in the world and everything that, everything that's bad, everything that's negative in the world gets drawn back to either video games or metal music. And then your little niche of that genre specifically. So I want to know, for someone that's, I want to say, in that world, in that genre, why do you think that this is, not why do you think it's sent from that, but do you think that this criticism is warranted at all to the genre?
Yes. As a stereotype, I think it's kind of like one of those, if you don't know a lot about it, the first thing you think about it, it'll come to mind. Even for me, I still think of, like, if someone says death metal, first thing that comes to mind is like Mayhem, which has a lot of stories about that band. They had a movie come out about them. Like, there's some murder involved, stuff like that. When people say like black metal, I think about, burning churches and Satanism as well. And if I hear like rap metal, I think like Limp Bizkit or Zebrahead or something. Like, there, things pop in your head when you see hear these words and associated terms and acts. But I think just the general angst and an outlet for emotions very powerful in music, as anyone can attest to, being listeners of their favorite genre or music. And they diverged into different micro genres or niches, and they become what they are today, and they may carry over some of those like associations. I think our bands like more constitute as hardcore, but with some deathcore influences in the vocals and like breakdowns, and we love that because it's heavy, it's brutal, it's a confection of the human soul that people digest universally. Even the Koreans that are, or the locals that just don't know what they might be afraid of at first, but like at the end they're like, that was catharsis. And I love hearing that because it is for me too still. And the hardcore part of our band, we stem from towards more positivity. A lot of hardcore is, surprisingly, they shout about and get angry about being positive. They're not actually angry. It's a passionate outrage of
They
wanting
just
the
sound
world
real
to be a better
angry.
place. They just sound angry, exactly. Like, let's make the world a better place. Even like, people probably heard of Hatebreed, right? The band name itself, Hatebreed, a breed of hate. You come from hate, but their songs are all positive, and it's amazing. They're like straight edge. They don't like associate or want to like validate the life of non-sobriety, because they think music will save people's mental health or their emotional health, or just. People use it to work out. They use it to get their angst out or meet new friends. Music's a great outlet, but we do carry some, like my family especially, when they're like, "This is your music?" For sure.
Such
They're just like,
a
"Are you a Satanist? Are you gonna rip my
deal.
flesh off and eat it?" It's been I've gotten that. Of course.
You're like, yeah,
Yeah, why
let me
not?
do then.
Now that you mention it. And I have a friend's band, if I may mention them. Summoner Circle in Tennessee, who I was briefly in a couple projects that were other than that with some of the members. They have like a literal like sacrificial theatrical kind of performance, a nice spec excuse me, nice spectacle of a false sacrifice where they cut a girl's throat and blood's everywhere, and they're wearing makeup and
It's
hoods.
gruesome,
They're
yeah.
about to tour Europe, so Hey.
Oh, but Europe loves hardcore. Like, Europe is like the mecca for it, I think. But it's interesting, now that you mention it with the family members as well. I recently watched, so I stay home a lot, so I watch a lot of Netflix. I think I am the
Same.
main, the main like revenue stream is just from my account. I'm pretty sure of it. But I watched the Woodstock 99
Oh, the
documentary.
documentary.
Yeah, and it was so funny that they talked to obviously most of the bands or some of the bands, and then the organizers or the producers and the concert goers that they also interviewed now is like, yeah, when it got to like Korn and Limp Bizkit, like the people became so such like more paganistic and it felt like a riot and everything. And then they would bring on Jewel and Jewel would just calm everyone down or Willie Nelson, whatever. And I just like, I don't know. I was like, it's not because of the band. It's just because of the music. The music is so different. It has a different, it makes you feel different. So obviously it's
Yeah,
gonna have a different
it's
reaction to the
energy.
crowd. And then, but the best part is then they would cut to the front man of Korn, and he'd just be like chilling in this really all beige lounge in his house. He's like, yeah, he doesn't know what happened, but he's okay with it. And he's like the most chill dude ever. And you would expect like Korn's front man to be like, oh, death to everyone, whatever. And he's just like, hey, yeah, it's okay, cool, Hakuna Matata. And I think a lot of the metal musicians, obviously you do have your really like hardcore, I'm gonna say evil metal musicians, but most metal musicians are really just the sweetest people alive.
You've seen my
It's
photos.
Facts, man. I mean, let me just pop that booty pick
Oh.
up again. No, it's such a big misconception, and it's like saying, I don't even know how to. It's like saying Enya's just chill all the time. She's not a chill person in real life. She's like such a diva, but it's the music is so connotated with the musician that it has this whole aura about it, and if they just take away the really, the really evil sound of it, then they would see like the lyrics would, if you just go read the lyrics or some of the metal music, you'd be like, oh, this is actually really positive. As you mentioned, it's I think people don't give it a chance, enough chance, which is sad, eh? I don't know. I want to read you a quote
Sure.
from Justin Longshore. And he says, Justin Longshore says, deathcore is new metal. It sucks, and if anyone calls us deathcore, then I might do something very bad to them. You know, I really hate the term. I know we've been labeled as that, but I think there's so much more to our music than just a mixture of death metal and hardcore, even though we incorporate those elements in our music. And then he goes on to this extremely long tangent about everything about deathcore and new metal and hardcore metal, etc., etc. And I went on to the main deathcore subreddit, and it's like all it's like the as if it's high school and you have your the hardcore
Clicks.
table in the cafe clicks, yeah, and then the hardcore and the new metal and the math metal cliques are all just collectively hating on the deathcore clique. So I want to know, in your opinion, like, why do you think deathcore has been proverbially shunned by its other brothers and sisters in the cafeteria?
I have an easy answer for this, just because I was on both sides of that fence at one point. I was kind of like an elitist metalhead growing up, you know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like a lot of musicians. If you're a musician, you're gonna be more critical about other musicians, about their musicality, about their principles, about how they do things. And I think deathcore is probably, arguably, one of the easiest genres of metal because people assume it's just like high distortion, random chords, and screaming into a microphone, just da 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 blast beats. But there, I think there's
Yeah.
a lot more that goes into it for the more successful or well-rounded bands, obviously. But people like to pick on the stuff that's easy to pick on, which There are a lot of bands that come out of the woodwork doing that and then fail or dissipate or just get they do it for a quick like fun thing and it just becomes out of their system and they're done. But like the first band picture you saw me, it was more like progressive metal where I had to do different time signatures and follow the drums and I couldn't move around because I'm like counting math equations in my head as I play. And it was not fun. It sounded awesome and people like were like, yeah, good job, but it wasn't fun. Deathcore's fun. I don't know. So is hardcore. All these metal genres are I've never got into the arguing about them. I mean, I used to, but I don't argue at the
I
core
mean,
about why something's better or worse than the others. I just have good favorite bands. If they happen to fall in that category, then whatever.
I think it's much more like obviously musicians have a certain respect for each other. That doesn't matter which genre you're in. Like, I'm pretty sure I don't know, Dave Grohl would have respect for I don't know, Beyonce, whatever. I couldn't even think of two artists now. But I
It's so
think
many.
we had a guest on recently that talked about if you were creating music, especially as a songwriter or someone that's in a band and you're not just a cover band, you write your own music, that it's like you are a cup of water and you keep pouring out, and if you don't refill your own cup, like, you're gonna run dry. And it's not just for writing music, it's for performances in general as well, because you get such a, I want to say, a performance high, and then when you get off stage, you have your performance dip. So I want to know, how do you refill your cup? It's a silly way to put it, but in what way do you replenish creatively?
I've actually used this very specific analogy for the same thing before, trying to explain why I keep doing what I do or pursue something, right? Because I'm always jumping around. For music, for me, it's a definitely performance. Like sometimes, like oh, we have a show today. We have a show today. Like we just exhaust because we know the energy's about to leave us. We know we're gonna be exhausted after. It's just, but then 10 minutes before we go on the stage, we're suddenly hype again. We're like, yeah, let's do this. Let's do the show. Oh my God, look at
Adrenaline
the
gets
oh, we got
popping,
some audience. Oh, they're excited. Oh, look at these guys. They look like they are not gonna have a good time. Let's make sure they have a good time. So we're like we really make it an opportunity every time to just give it all. Even if there's like five people, we give it our all. It doesn't matter, and we always have fun. And every show we always get somebody or multiple somebodies just saying how we've succeeded in fighting their expectations or changing how they saw us when they
That's
first
awesome.
saw us. Like some of us do like little wardrobe changes to keep it interesting. Like one of our shows, we all wore like short shorts and tank tops. We got them at like H&M, which I believe is a European store. And I got them sitting over here on my couch, still folded from laundry for 3 weeks because I'm not gonna really wear them again. But we do little things like that. We talk about dressing up like other bands and pretending we're them, and just kind of we're fun. We make it fun, and it always refills our cup. Also, just people recognizing us on the street, which doesn't happen much right now, but we anticipate maybe in the future. Like they're like, "Hey, I saw you guys last week. I loved it." We had, especially from Germany, this guy. He might be gone now. He went to every single one of our shows. Just this random guy we met in the street. He just came. He loved us so much. He came to every. We got him for free as much as we could because we were like, "If you want to come, we'll help you out." And another girl came from like 2 hours away just to see us, and she liked us and kept coming to our shows. And I'm like, if you keep doing that, like it's gonna refill our cup immediately, right? That's our top off right there.
That just gives you, that
Super
gives you such a
boost,
boost, I can
yes.
imagine.
But
But that's
Matt,
really cool. It is
yes.
time to behold the meteor shower. This section is to keep you on your toes. It's a couple of rapid fire questions. So I'm going to throw a tiny handful of questions your way, and the first
Okay.
answer that pops into your head is the right one. We're going to go with that. So I want to ask you, are you ready to behold the meteor shower?
Yes, I am ready.
If you could be an instrument, which one would you be?
Saxophone.
You're the second person that says that. And that's such a random answer. Like, of all the instruments, saxophone. Okay, good. That's good. I can't follow up question. I can't do a follow up. I need it. I kind of like pull through. SpongeBob or Patrick?
Both, Patrick.
Patrick, agree or disagree? Aliens built the pyramids.
Disagree.
Which movie has the best soundtrack?
Inception.
Ooh, good one. Which Friends character are you?
Joey.
Joey, good one. Which is better, small club audiences or massive stadium audiences?
Both dive bars.
Dive bar is a good one. Whitechapel or Slaughter to Prevail?
Oh my God. Oh, it's a biased one. I live in Tennessee, right next to Whitechapel. I own one of their guitars. I have one of their guitars. But Alex Terrible from Slaughter Prevail. Ah, that's not fair.
Nailed it. I was like, I gotta choose two really good bands. Got you. I got you on that one. Yes. I'll give it a pass. Who would win in an epic battle? Okay, this one is I need to focus on this one. Who would win in an epic battle? Harry Potter with a gun or John Wick with a pencil?
John Wick.
John Wick with a pencil. It's always John Wick with a pencil. Him and that pencil, man. And this one is the one that gets everyone. Unfortunately, only one answer is allowed.
Okay.
No if, buts, maybes on this one. The best song of all time.
Come sail away, Enya.
Come sail away, Enya. Come sail away, Enya. I'm going to be real honest with you. Did not expect that answer. Not at all.
Neither.
I planted the seed earlier. Like, I
You
think you're the first.
did.
I think you're probably the first guest that we've had that has said Enya. Enya, come
Planted
sail
that
away.
seed. Yeah.
I'm going to just put
It's been
it
in
from
my
this
head
one.
the whole time you mentioned it. Come sail away. Come sail
It's going to be stuck in my head. I'm going to ask the editors just to put it on in the background for the remainder of this podcast so it can
You know
just
what's the
play.
more specifically, it's the South Park version that's in my head.
Oh, the South, I haven't heard the South Park version in such a long time. I forgot they did that. That's amazing.
did.
Yeah,
They made it a
I'm gonna put
horrible
this.
earworm.
I want to talk a bit about Get to the Point.
Sure.
It's a relatively new band that you started in South Korea, as you said. I want to first just go to the name. The name is so random.
It is.
I thought at first that you were being snarky when I went to the or
I
like satirical. When I went to the band's page, I get to the point. I was like, that can't be the band name. That's the band name. How did you guys come up with it, and what is the story behind it?
Well, Craig, our guitarist slash founder, he started the band. He's like, I'm gonna pick the name. We're like, all right, no arguments there. And he just come up to practice one day, and he's like, get to the point. We're like, what? So that's the band name. Okay, just went with it. No one argued. Just all right, sure. And like you said, you thought we're maybe being snarky, but we get that a lot. Like, we don't mean to. It's just our band name, and we're just like, get to the point. They're like, what? What's your band name? Let's get to the point.
Get to
That's the band name.
the
And we feel stupid. Like, it was a good idea to name it this, but it was kind of like, random and kind of like a joke. He's like, it's the band
Just
name. He
remember.
never intended it to be the band name, but it's stuck, I guess, and we like it. We don't care. It abbreviates well, GTTP.
Yeah, but it's also is I don't say easy to remember. It makes it sound I don't know if the name's stupid or something, but it's a memorable name that you're like,
Yeah.
oh, it's that band, that band with the name. So I mean, it works. It totally works. And how did you guys all get together except for you walking down random streets and finding totally safe musicians to play with? How did
Totally.
you in the end become the band that you are today?
Well, my first project, I was wandering the streets, and Craig and this band I met through him in one of those wanderings. He wasn't on the street per se, but we jammed, and I basically stole some other members for the band I was creating. And at the time, Craig was very purist. He didn't care about pedals, or he just wanted to play hard and go hard. But then he kind of went into this stint where he didn't do music and then suddenly pops back in. He's like, "Hey, you still in that band that you made?" I'm like, "Yeah, but I think it's falling apart because, a lot of us are expats and they just go back home eventually or have some other things to pursue." And so I was like, "Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a little side project." I didn't expect it to go anywhere. I expected maybe one or two shows and just call it quits because that's basically what he wanted to do, was just have one last hurrah in Korea before he left. But here he is, another year in Korea doing music just like me. I did the same thing. Oh, I like the music. Let's keep
And now you're
going. Yeah.
stuck there, Matt. Now you're stuck there.
Stuck.
Okay, but Matt, I want to thank you for co-piloting this rocket ship today. And before we check our engines, I want to give you a chance to shout out any platforms or projects before you go. But remember to follow us in the Stellar Sound Discord community or head on over to Instagram for the latest Stellar updates. Matt, any projects or platforms you'd like to shout out?
Oh, I'll just do the basic ones. Just me and my band. It's obvious. We post other bands like the shirt I'm wearing now that we really like and are also inspired by or co-pilot together in the music industry. My YouTube isn't that great. It'll come back up soon, but I have a lot of short films on there. I'm kind of proud of. They're my little baby projects.
Very good. I can attribute to that. I can confirm 10 out of
Yeah,
10.
and my photography page, but that's, I don't think people would be interested in that. I'm not really doing anything crazy, but if they're in Korea, I'm happy to shoot you. And
Rock
yeah,
at the front door.
right in front of your front door, wherever you want. But I don't really have any other
Oh, okay,
platforms, but
great.
definitely the band. Check us out. Instagram.
Instagram, they will all be listed in the description as far as I know. The Instagram page for the band and also for you, Matt. But listeners and fellow astronauts out there from Leanne Repulsion and my guest Matt, we want to thank you for joining us here at the Stellar Sound Podcast.